Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, I wanted to share with you something that is, as far as I'm concerned, the driving force of spiritual life, just like the steam is the driving force in a locomotive. I will bring this a little closer. You know, the steam moves the engine. So there is a driving force in our spiritual life. Some people call it magic, but we call it kirtan. that is the singing of the Lord's name is our Ananga Manjari, do I say it correctly, has introduced us to. And so I will do a little bit more kirtan and then I will enter into my subject, finding your authentic path in spiritual life. I'm looking towards Gaur Krishna, and I see we have a door open there. It is very nice. Should we maybe have a someone who receives our guests with a happy smile? And it's good if they come through that door. Yes. Yes. I can see some of you I saw yesterday, so you are not strangers to me. To say those who use instruments, I have a little softer style. It may be that we become very loud, but in the beginning we will become very soft. No? Also, I'm a danga player. No need of playing the rolling thunder. See, in spiritual life, you have to change the direction. In our material life, our direction is outwardly facing. We try to reach something in the outside world. We try to present ourselves in a way that the outside world recognizes us through our Facebook or Instagram page, or we dress in a way, or in the West, those who are in white bodies, they try to look brown for some reason. And in the East, those who are in brown bodies, they like to look whitish. No? There's something common here. The direction in which the attention is focused is towards the outside, no? How I look, how the world perceives me, what I put out into the world. But in spiritual life, the direction needs to be changed. Not all those who come to spiritual life have understood it, but those who are a little bit more there, who are satisfied and content with their spiritual life, they have always been successful to change the direction from the outside to the inside. So when we sing now, sometimes people say, what does this have to do with meditation? And when we dance, people think this is as far away from meditation as you can go. But when you sing, focusing your attention to the inside, that is, when you sing and address the Lord in the heart, when you sing to purify your heart, or when you sing to address Krishna, that's a very internal thing. And of course it can then spill over like boiling milk into the senses, and then you will sing loudly, or you will dance nicely, or you will do so many things. But you start in with the inside, no? So would you like to change the direction? It's an interesting thing. Who knows what you will meet when you go inside? Sometimes people are scared because they meet themselves at the, because they have not really worked on themselves, they meet a very immature person inside. So what we will do is we will sit properly and we will close our eyes. We will not think about what our neighbor thinks about us. And we will sing the Hare Krishna mantra, and we will address Krishna through our singing. Yes? We will just go into the space by chanting the monosyllable Ram.
Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
To your real self, to the true self, that which is not a copy of someone else or something else, but which is really you. Please sing from that true self. Sing now, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Beautiful, very good.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shava Madhava Dinadaya.
Please try to sing. Tapu para,
Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jai Gaur Hari Ma, Hari Ma, Hari Ma, Hari Ma. Gaur Prem Nandi. Hari 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 Bo. Beautiful, no? Sometimes we sing for the whole day, 20, whatever is the hours, I don't know, long time. Yeah. Some people call it magic. What happens afterwards? Made a few notes of what I wish to say. Krishna, I will speak in English, but not in the beginning. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Askajyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear everyone, I would like to give you just a very brief summary of what we discussed yesterday and then talk about the subject today. Yesterday, we said that authenticity or your own true path in life is something where you must be true to your nature and not copy the life, the behavior, and the thoughts of others. You know, there is one thing you cannot veer after you are 18 years old, and that's the opinion of others. You can't dress with them, you can't veer them any longer. You have to, latest by then, find your own true path. where you can stay true to your personality, to your own spirit, your own expression, and your own life. This is not always easy, we said, because in a society where people have certain ideas what is good, you know, to find really your own good is not always easy. There are expectations in place by society which you might have internalized, and then these foreign expectations have become your own expectations in yourself. So according to this old wisdom tradition, you know the Bhagavad Gita, there are three things which you have to keep in mind to find your own path, or as the scriptures say, your own Dharma. You need to find your Swadharma. This means something in relationship to yourself, which you could call your purpose. For instance, in my case, it's I like to learn new things, and I like to see what is helpful and useful, and to bring that into the lives of others. That's my Dharma. My spiritual master helped me to identify this. Someone else may have the Dharma to write books or to dance, perhaps. Then there is Loka Dharma. That is what you do in relationship to others. Kindness, support. There are some dharmic principles, which we would call in the West ethical principles, where you are not concerned so much really with yourself. That's the second type of dharma. But what you can give into the life of others. Encouragement, for instance. Or most important, you should not harm, but do all the opposite things that where you harm people. And then there is something that you, a dharma that you have in relationship to God. We call it Sanatana Dharma, the eternal dharma. So very often people find it very difficult to identify the first dharma. I will speak a little modern. They don't know, what is my purpose? What should I do? What they will say in Amsterdam, perhaps, what's my thing, you know, and so on. And yesterday we said this can become clear when you get out of the fog, out of the you know, ignorance, and by following that spiritual dharma, Sanatana Dharma, in relationship to the Lord, that usually comes clear as your inner fog disappears. I see there's some. We are not satisfied with the sound, isn't it? We must increase. Yes.
Too much
space. Okay. Too much bass. That is also what I felt. I thought I'm like a speaker in a wrong TV show, you know, from the sound. So less bass, and I would say thanks. Yes, I will speak. But it's not so easy to just speak something. But maybe I should just speak. I see red roses before me, which are strewn across the floor or the blanket. Okay, are we more satisfied with the sound?
Yes.
We are more satisfied. Yes. I know, but now the ones who are sitting before the loudspeaker will say, "No, Maharaj, it is."
I have
you have something good, good. Yes, good. So finding what we should do here in this world in relationship to the world is sometimes difficult, but it becomes revealed or clear to us when our consciousness becomes more clear by performing the Sanatana Dharma nicely, no? And then it's almost like, you know, I have these glasses somewhere here, here, and at the moment, yes, they're quite, you know, I ate a sweet, and somehow the fat of the sweet is on this glass. It's embarrassing, and I can't see so well that. So, if I clean it, then. I can see. So in the same way, your vision becomes clear when you are engaging in that eternal Sanatan Dharma. Perhaps you make something that which many people do. You go on retreat. What is this? For my glasses. Well, I'm at the moment giving a lecture afterwards. No, I'm not here for cleaning my glasses primarily. This is an example. No, but thank you. Afterwards, I will make use of this. So some people just go change what they do, go to a place of pilgrimage, a place which is spiritually inspiring, and then totally, exclusively perform these spiritual activities, and after some time they become more clear about what they should perhaps drop, what is not helpful any longer, and what they should adopt, no? And find the Dharma like this. So anyways, we were talking about this, but today I heard we are in the bhakti space, and I have want to talk from another perspective on it. See, when I became a monk, my auntie Anke said, "I don't want to see that you become like one of those." And she had one magazine where there were Buddhistic monks on the all sitting in one line, you know, having the exact same dress, the exact same haircut, the exact same meditative expression on the face, and my auntie Anke is her name, said, "I don't want you to become a streamlined person like this without individuality." I defended these monks. I said, "Have you looked inside their hearts? Then you will see who they are. They are no longer believing that external dresses, hairstyles will make up their identity." No, but my auntie Anke had a point. When you come on the spiritual path, you might see a certain behavior, a certain fashion, a certain way of dressing, and in order to belong to the group, you might like to copy that also. No, I am a little observative by nature, and I have seen many trends. At the moment in the kirtan of our movement, at a certain time they move like this. This is the newest thing, and I am yet to see if this will become a fashion. As of yet, it is quite new, but I can see it might become a fashion. It's something that he does it, I should perhaps also do it. And, you know, or I've seen this in dressing styles. Something comes up, and then, oh, he does it, let me follow this. There is a story about this, becoming just copying something. There was one ashram, you know, where people live together, and they used to do regular yagyas, Yagnas means sacrifice, fire sacrifices, where the fire was lit and mantras were recited. and in this ashram there was a cat who liked the priest very much and who always came to during the yajna and made meow, meow and ran all over. So the priest said, well, this is a yajna, you can't just walk all over, but I understand you want to be with me. So then he brought a big basket and put it over the cat, and the cat was satisfied and looked at the yajna from its basket house. It was a basket with you know, these baskets they have in India, which have open spaces. So when the priest died, his cat had also died since long, but the next abbot or leader of the ashram remembered that priest and thought he always had a cat in a basket next to him. The topsy-turvy, you know, what is it, turned around. Let's also do that. That must be good. He was a good man. That must be good. So for 300 years, this ashram always had to have a cat in a basket until someone asked why. And then they found out they were imitating one person. This happens in society. Hare Krishna, Braj Biharini, welcome, you made it. this can happen in movements. And my auntie, Tante Anke, she said, I don't want you to become like that. You should be true to yourself always and not imitate others. And she had been like this. She was born in this rich family, but she decided to do something which she wanted. She became a stewardess, and all the relatives went like, ooh, stewardess. That's not a profession for our class, you know. But she became a stewardess. She wanted to see the world. She saw everything. Then she married a lawyer. A lawyer! You should marry into a business family, you know. Lawyers don't earn anything. But Tante Anke followed her path. Then she invited the Beatles and made an art exhibition. Beatles were famous people at her times, and everyone went, the Beatles! But she always followed. When I visited her, the first one who greeted me was Maximilian. It was a dog. He looked as big as a tiger. And I said, Tante Anke, a dog tiger, you know, he will make such a heap of bathroom, you know. Now Tante Anke always followed what she thought was her authentic path. Then 2 years later, I met her and said, you are about authenticity. I want to now tell you my concept of authenticity. And we talked for a whole day and she accepted everything. She's a very nice person. She has died by now. So I wanted to share what is the spiritual perspective on following your authentic path. The material perspective is very much that which Tante Anke, my auntie, went. But for us who have studied the wisdom texts, authenticity is something much deeper than dressing the way you dress, doing what you want to do, and so on. It has to do with becoming what you in some way are already. Think of a little seed. When it develops and grows, it becomes what it is already. Or think of caterpillar. Do you know what is a caterpillar in Holland?
Rups.
What?
Rups.
Rups. Yes, sounds correct. No, you can see by sound what is indicated. When it turns into a butterfly, it's not that it adopts something foreign to it or becomes something foreign. It really grows into what it is already. So in the same way, the authentic path and spiritual life means to only realize what is already there inside of you, who you are already, that is, now listen to this, a blissful, beloved part of God. Wow! A lover, someone who is feeling unending joy that is not dependent on external circumstances. That's, of course, the end goal. Well, end goal, there are many definitions of the end goal, but some of it. But when you go and when you think about authenticity in the spiritual life, you know that behind all the various roles which you play in this world, a mother, a writer, a teenager, in Amsterdam, perhaps a bicycle lover, you know, behind all these, a professor, a doctor, a student of psychology, behind all this, what you do, there is the real you, the true self, which is a part of God. Wow. And in your path in authenticity, to your thoughts authenticity, you want to realize the real I, me, and mine. In this world, the I, me, and mine is, I've made a note here, I want to read this to you. I is the concept of some identity, which is really an identification with something. Me are the things how I express my I-ness, my name, you know, the form, your shape, the attributes of my body and mind, adventurous perhaps. And mine are the things that I possess, like my house, like my bicycle in Amsterdam that is very, it's a must have to move forward here, and so on. No? These are all related is all in the context of my material existence. But what we want to attain on the authentic path of spiritual life is the illusory I turns into an enlightened I. The constrained I turns into a free I. And the I that is plagued with various problems like anxiety, am I understood? Can I be proper understood? That is turning into a loving I, you know. So this is really, once again, I want to bring your point, your attention to the point, growing into what you are, or as Nietzsche said, become who you are. He borrowed this term, become who you are, from a Greek philosopher called Pindar, you know, who had the idea that that there is an I waiting, and we should now only take away the non-eyes, and then it will be uncovered. Almost like inside the onion, there is a very soft core, very tasty, very, I mean, those who like onion
feel that it has the greatest amount of taste, but you must peel away the brown things, that the shriveled things, and then come to it. So this concept is there also in our spiritual path. Become who you truly are. And it's always a transformation from the unenlightened state to the enlightened state. And now on this path of transformation or becoming who you are, this is important, there are often realizations of who you are not. And as long as you don't have yet a concept of who you are, it can be a little bit a test of your patience, let us say like this, when you only know this is who I am not. Do you know what I'm speaking about? You feel somehow very ill at ease with your circle of friends all of a sudden. Like I remember when I started spiritual life, I was a great lover of dance. I danced very different styles. Samba I knew, waltz I knew, twist I knew. I was very good in twist and so on. And I would go to places where these dances were performed, but then I started my spiritual life and I thought, I don't really like this atmosphere any longer. Everyone tries to be the best, the one who everyone looks at, and there's smoke in the atmosphere, and there's this endless games between men and women, which we can see also on the chicken yard, you know. This is how I felt at that time, this endless impressing the other and to win them over for some coming closer in whatever ways. So I didn't go to these dance performances or places where you could dance. But I had no idea what else was there. And this was not an easy time for me. I was it was a time of being dissatisfied. Now in spiritual life, my dear everyone, this was before spiritual life. I gave you a simple example. In spiritual life, this also comes because, as you know, we hear become who you are, and also there is a saying, lose yourself to find yourself. Have you heard this? Lose the old self, the illusory self, the illusory or the job which doesn't satisfy you, to become yourself. But what they didn't tell us, that you need to lose yourself many times on the spiritual path. What we find in spiritual life as a byproduct, which is mistaken, is that people at one stage think, okay, this is what it is, but it is not what it is. It is only a station that they pass when they, as they move on. But those who stay too long on the station, you know, they don't develop any longer. We had this in our car as we drove to Amsterdam. We discussed that sometimes we see that people who are on for a long time in spiritual life seem to be atrophied or seem to be stuck, so to say, in old concepts, in old thoughts, which may have worked earlier in their spiritual life, but now they are harmful to their further spiritual growth. This we see. Actually, spiritual life means to be courageous enough to go again and again into the waiting room of God. What does this mean? I will tell you now something very nice.
In more scientific language, and I have to speak like this because Brihaj Biharini is here and I don't want to look like a complete fool before her. She's so knowledgeable. This is called the liminal space. It is meaning a threshold which is there before you enter something new. Like a threshold is, you know, when I came here, you greeted me so nicely. Then there was this threshold, and I was thought, how does this Karunika, is it called Karunika, how does it look from inside? I was curious. I expected, I've been in many yoga studios, so this also a nice yoga studios, but I never was in the space. So in spiritual life also there are, but I didn't know. Only when I crossed the threshold did I know, oh wonderful, there are roses and wow, a seat that is absolutely admirable and comfortable and so on. I learned all this so when I stepped over it. So in spiritual life you have to cross a threshold to learn something new, and you have to constantly do it, otherwise you get stuck, like we have seen in our movement and other movements and so on. So this liminal space means the threshold space where you are not, the old is no longer and the new has not yet revealed itself, has been described by one very nice person, Richard Rohr, he is a very good author, as it's the space where we are betwixt and between the familiar and the completely unknown. There alone, in this in-between space, is our old world left behind while we are not yet sure of the new existence. I have seen this in those, you know, very sincere people who come to our movement. We have really jewels there. They sometimes come to a place where they can't identify any longer with the old mindsets, the old behaviors. And when they come into an atmosphere where exactly that is going on, they can't feel at home any longer, although there was a time where they felt very much at home there. And they feel a little irritated. So I continue. That's a good space to be, where genuine newness can begin. Get there often and stay as long as you can by whatever means possible. This is the sacred space where the old world is able to fall away and a bigger world is revealed to you. If we don't encounter liminal space in our lives, we start idealizing normalcy. I want to say this again. If we don't encounter this threshold, this in-between space in our lives, we start to idealize normalcy. The threshold is God's waiting room. Here we are taught openness and patience as we come to expect an appointment with the divine doctor. If you are on the path of self-realization and you take it serious, you don't just want to join a movement or a religion, Hinduism. You want to transform your heart. And and in the process of transforming your heart, there will be increasing levels of clarity that happen to you. Where you can start to see more and more. I have heard from Nilambara that Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, a very wonderful Maharaj, is still very dear to you, and I'm also missing his presence. I,
I'm starting to write a letter to him, mm-hmm. wherever he is, to express some things. It will start, if you were here, I would tell you this. Now, he gave a very nice image of the spirit path, in which I think you will all be able to find yourself. He said spiritual life is like starting a journey early in the morning. And as you enter the autobahn, all you see is really on the right side a white line that is uninterrupted. Then you see in the middle these white lines that are interrupted. And on the left line, again, a white line that is going straight. Yes? No? You can... You follow this example? Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Some of you don't not. It means you, either you have, in the moment, your mind has drifted away, or you are asleep, or I cannot speak proper English. So let me say it again. Starting spiritual life is like starting in the morning on a journey and seeing very limited things in your vision. You see only a straight line on the right side, that is lit by the Scheinwerfer. What is Scheinwerfer? The front lights? Headlights, yes. And you see an interrupted line in the middle and so on. So in the beginning of your spiritual life, you have a very limited understanding of God's, of Krishna's glories. He may be there only in your movement. You may see him only in your movement, or you see him only in certain people in your movement. You are very limited. What you can do and not do in spiritual life is very prescribed lines, you know, and you feel, oh my God, when I move outside of these lines that are the autobahn of, you know, I will be an offender, I heard. My life will be ruined. But as the sun starts to rise in your journey, you start to see trees, wow. You start to see plains. You start to see deers jumping around. You see the cows saying moo, you know, and you see the skyline, you see the ocean also, waves, and so many things. But if you would get stuck and not move forward, you would only see darkness in two bright lines, three bright lines, two uninterrupted and one interrupted. So as you are in your spiritual life, you should not become in your path of Krishna consciousness. Don't get stuck in things and so on. I want to see if there's something more here for you. When you start your spiritual life, you're still very much in your identification. It's called your material ahankara, the I creator. It's the ego which creates certain image of yourself. Then you may meet someone who has more of the spiritual qualities in himself or herself, and you think, wow. Let me become like this person. Then as you move on, you understand, no, I cannot become like this person really 100%. I have to find my own expression, my own realization. No? And as you move on, you begin to, the light becomes more, you become more inspired, more awakened, if you so want,
And at one stage, listen to this, you will want to know, who am I in my spiritual identity? And then there is a whole, so many wonderful instructions. First, you only know, I am not this body and this mind. But then your question turns around, and you want to know, who am I? I'm reading this book where my fellow monks, God brothers, we would say, express themselves to Srila Prabhupada, and I can see many of them start to ask this question, which is a natural question. Not who am I not, but who am I really? And it's very inspiring that there are answers to this question. It is something that transforms. Now I want to end. How does the caterpillar become a butterfly? How does the seed come into the, what is it called? Into a banyan tree. Or how do you become a self-realized soul? This is a good question, no? Listen to this. The seed needs a good environment and regular nourishment, you know. It needs good humus earth. It's called humus, do we say this in English? Humus, Pataparudra recognizes the word. And good water. Also the caterpillar, to turn into what it is, needs certain food. Some caterpillars need the leaves of mulberry trees, I learned. I've studied the dishes for caterpillars very thoroughly, so mulberry leaves. And then what is there in the mulberry leaves helps the processes inside so that it can grow into what it is meant to be. It can actually produce silk, you know, this type of caterpillar. So in the same way, you need to find out what is your spiritual practice, and that nourishes you. It may not be exactly, it may be tailored to your needs. For instance, the scriptures say when we begin chanting Hare Krishna, we should not chant too little, but also not too much. Why not too much? Because when we do too much spiritual practice, we might lose the taste in it, and it becomes just a dry, tasteless duty thing. You know, it's my duty to perform this. So, at the time of initiation, we are ready to commit to one number, but even then, it is not recommended for some who only chant 16 rounds of japa to chant 64 rounds. They would lose adara. Adara is a Sanskrit word which means loving respect for the practice. It should be individual for your thing. But the principle is the same. You need nourishment, spiritual nourishment, which brings out all these qualities, just like the seed needs that humus earth with certain minerals and whatever it is to grow into the banyan tree and have, which has again seeds, or like the caterpillar needs certain leaves, you know, each. So you need a spiritual practice, but a spiritual practice you require. It's so important for you, for each one of us. Otherwise we get stuck, we remain stuck on our level, and we just don't develop further into our potential. We just stay where we are. These processes which we do in Krishna consciousness are called, it's called a bhakti sadhana, spiritual practice in bhakti. And I want to read to you about this. This bhakti sadhana
will take care that your hairs stand on end. They will bristle, you know, they will come up, because it means goose pimples, no? You're so excited about it. Your heart will melt. Sometimes there will be tears in your eyes, but not tears of physical pain or emotional pain. It's sweet tears from the soul, which are very sweet and very purifying. Tears of love, in other words. There is a verse. It says, if one's hairs do not stand on end, how will your heart melt? And if the heart does not melt, how can tears of love flow from the eyes? If one does not cry in spiritual happiness, one does not cry in spiritual happiness, how can one render loving service to the Lord? And without such loving service, how can the consciousness ever be purified? So in search of our spiritual authenticity, don't get stuck. And don't do what many do. They drink each day from the cup of bitterness, of disappointment. Oh, I'm so disappointed. I thought I should be self-realized by now. Oh, I see this behavior in others. Oh, I saw a Brahmana in the temple in Jagannath Puri who did an unacceptable social behavior. Oh, and drinking from the cup of bitterness, that will keep you bound to this earth. No, base your life on your spiritual aspirations and know that it is totally normal on your spiritual journey that you will move on from certain behaviors and convictions and cannot find yourself there any longer. Hare Krishna. And what happened with Tante Anke? I met her when she was at the end of her life. She could look back on a very, very adventurous life. And I said, now, Tante Anke, I want to ask you a question. Are you happy? Has your suffering been removed? And he said, why do you ask me always these uncomfortable questions? I'm not happy. I feel there are so many things I still want to know and want to do, because I'm missing this contentment, but time is running out. See how old I am. I said to her, Tante Anke, now I can talk to you. I couldn't talk to you before. Tante Anke, I know when you look in the mirror, you see an old lady from the jet set. You have tried 3 facelifts, I know, my mother told me, but you look how you are. You look how you are. You look, this is what you have. The material body will go its course, but you are not this material body. You are the one who looks through the eyes in your mirrored image. You were the one who looked through your eyes when you were a beautiful girl with a very attractive outside which made you the connoisseur, which made you very much demanded in society. You were invited to so many high society events. But this is now frustrated because your face has changed. But you are the one who still looks and observes. And this true self, this self, which is never a copy of someone else, this you need to find, you need to
do something in your old age now to become self-realized. This is the special prerogative or special benefit of this human form of life, to become self-realized. And you have not yet done many things. Yes, said Tante Anke, I only know one book, The Cloud of Unknowing, about self-realization. But I have not followed the teachings of The Cloud of Unknowing. Very educated, Tante Anke. What should I do? You took another path. Your other niece, Beate, became a Buddhistic nun. I have spoken to her, but I like to hear from you. What should your old Tante Anke do at the evening of her life? Said, wonderful. And then we talked for 2 days, and she was very happy. She died very happy, and so on. So I wish the same for you, that you are becoming fully self-realized, that you are, and this happens only if you understand authenticity, not on the external level of you know, but on the level of the true self. So I hope you can become who you are in Krishna consciousness. Yes, this is our path. I hope you will not end up a copy in Krishna consciousness of someone else, and I'm because you won't be happy as a copy. You were born as an original. You are a divine child of Krishna, of God, and may this be what you end up, what you come to. All right, this is what I wanted to say to you. This. I have ended, and I will say Hare Krishna to you.
Krishna.
Do you have some questions? Anyone has any question? Jorun, I think you have a question.
I have a question.
I know. You said yesterday, I'm not a mystic seer. Yes.
First of all, thank you for the really inspiring classes. Yeah, I was thinking about what you said about Dharma, and if we speak about Dharma, we speak about one thing. And I was thinking, like, in our life, can we have, in specific stages in our life, different types of Dharma? Or is it just one Dharma that we find in our life?
Mm-hmm. We speak of Svadharma. Jorun, there will be very, it's one thing, but in our life it will have different expressions. Like when I was young, very young, I felt very much in my nature when I was translating. Now to sit down to translate is not possible for me any longer. I wouldn't be satisfied. Then I began to distribute transcendental literature. Now I doubt that I could very joyfully approach one person after the other who says no to me. It's not so easy, you know. People usually don't go on the street to buy a spiritual, don't go into the town to buy a spiritual literature. They have other things on their shopping list which are very clearly defined, you know. And you don't find Bhagavad Gita often on the. There was a time when I did huge public events, and I also don't. It requires a certain mental attitude to be on the stage before many people, and I'm this not no longer what I would do, you know. But the basic red line which is in there is that I'm someone who wants to learn and give his whatever he has learned to others. But the expressions change. For instance, someone may be like a doctor, you know, healing people. So he will first perhaps start with allopathic medicine, you know, and learn that. But then he will find out allopathic medicine is too limited. I want to learn Ayurveda, and then they learn Ayurveda and they think, it's quite good, but traditional Chinese medicine also has a lot to offer for the well-being. No? So their expression changes, but what they do to help others physically, that is the same. You know, when you find your Dharma, you will really think, wow, and you will feel that amazing amount of satisfaction. It is so satisfying to be in there. Plato, you know, I want to explain myself. I am of the opinion that real truths, you know, that is real principles, are so powerful that they don't appear just in one tradition, spiritual tradition, but everywhere, if they are really these big ones, you know. So Platon used to say, he has one statement. He said, wait a minute. Yes, there is only one place that is still vacant. All other places are occupied. This one vacant space is your space, your spot. With this he wanted to express that one's Dharma is there. Dharma is a little subtle. It is subtle. It has not to do with... Even, say, someone who is a doctor might say, well, I just so much want to help people. He might become... do healing music, you know. It's not really identical with profession or occupation. It's something that is motivating the person in his occupation. Thank you. This is a very, very nice question. Yes. Your good name, please.
My name?
Yes.
Aurora.
Oh, wonderful. Aurora. It is sun rising. Yes.
I've got this question. If the purpose is self-realization,
yeah.
Then what is the purpose of your Dharma? Or how does those two...
How do they relate? Yeah, wonderful question, Aurora. Mm. Self-realization... you need to really listen. Fasten your seatbelt, Aurora. Something unexpected comes. Self-realization is something that plays out on different levels. The self can mean the mind, your mental attitude. It can mean your physical stature. It can mean also the soul. So, as we go through life, we have a body. We are a soul who has a body, and we also have a mind. And if we want to have a complete self-realization, complete, it must be there on all the levels. That means physically we are doing the thing that is our Dharma, mentally, intellectually we are in our space, and spiritually we are in our space. Otherwise we might feel dissatisfied. Even people on the spiritual path who are not in the right environment might feel some dissatisfaction, and it might, if they don't eat the right food, you know, for their body, they might become ineffective. We see this each year in India when people eat, Westerners come and they get a diarrhea, Aurora, for 10 days. then there is no place in their mind for chanting and reading. They're just, can someone help my body, please? Hare Krishna. Be careful with the water. Water. Very careful with the water in India. Hare Krishna. So yes, you have to take care of the various levels of your existence. We in our Sharanagati team have developed a concept called the Tree of Life. It's a very old concept, but we mean it like this. Just like a tree has roots, a trunk, and a crown with fruits, the human being should have deep roots, that is spiritual roots that connect him with eternity, with the... He should have physical and emotional well-being, and he should have social well-being. He should not just do all this for himself. He should contribute to the well-being of others. His fruits should go. Tree of life. So that is important also for a spiritual person. Only when you are really self-realized on the spiritual platform, you know who you are, then you don't need physical well-being. You just your attitude is let the body run as long as it's and when it runs, and when it comes to its expiry date, then I may it drop away. And because they are so spiritually alive, many times their spirit nourishes in some ways their body, and they are healthy. I know one spiritual master, Aurora, who recommended his disciples, when they were ill, to not go to the pharmacy, but to engage in more focused spiritual practice. And it worked. Don't go to the pharmacy, it's Maya. You know, his name is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if you want to know. My spiritual master didn't say like this. He knew we didn't yet have enough spiritual substance to go by this. Good. Saraswati, do I see your hand?
There is one here.
Yes, please. What is your good name, please?
Eva.
Ida?
Eva.
Eva.
Yes.
Wonderful.
What if you found your Dharma?
Yes.
But you are scared to live it?
Wonderful question, Eva. And it is, I think, in the experience of many of us. I will repeat the question for those who are listening later on to the recordings. What if you found your Dharma, but you are scared to live it? Scared, perhaps. Yeah, you don't have enough faith in yourself that you could do it, or scared because of others who have different expectations in you than what you think, what you have recognized your Dharma to be, or scared for multiple reasons. Eva, what is the cause of
scared of the vulnerability, responsibility?
Yeah. Oh yeah, the responsibility and your own vulnerability, like when you don't cannot stand up to the responsibility which is sometimes there. First of all, you must know when you follow your Dharma, there cannot be bad consequences, even if you follow it imperfectly or faultily, because that's how this universe is made. Everyone is strongest in their Dharma when they do their Dharma, and Dharma, this. As not the individual Dharma, but the
whole, this huge law of law or order or energy and so on, which structures everything, that comes to your help when you are in your Dharma, even if initially you might make some mistakes. But I have, if you are hesitant and you are trembling a little bit and you think this is too big, my Dharma, for me at the moment, or you feel, my God, it's really, if I'm exposing myself, I'm coming into this world bad, you know, I'm entering the world almost without protection or armor, then I would recommend, why don't you try a little? The way the caterpillar moves gives us a good instruction. Before the caterpillar leaf, you know, when it's moves from leaf to leaf in a tree, it first will put half of his body on the new leaf and still have half of the, you know, on the old leaf, and will test the new leaf. Does it work or does it give in? And if it's stable, the new leaf, it takes a little bit more of the back part of its body to the new leaf until finally it's there totally on the new leaf. Nothing on the old leaf any longer. So going into your Dharma by, here comes a difficult English word, increments, or more and more, more and more, more. That is perhaps advisable in a situation when we are scared for whatever reason. That is what I did when I moved forward. I kept some old things, my living space, and I put more and more into my spiritual life until I felt I was ready to fly, so to say. It is something that is advised in the ancient wisdom texts, and you cannot lose when you do like this. When you do a little, and if there is great obstacle, then you may wait a little until the obstacle disappears, or until you have more inner strength and resilience, and then you move forward, and in this way, one day you will be there totally. Yes, your good name, please?
Vidya.
Vidya?
Yeah.
Wonderful name.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. So I think my first question is, I think you started the class with a very good line by saying, esteem is the impetus for the engine to move. So in the context of Dharma, I want to understand, what if you do not have that impetus on an everyday basis? A person may not even find their Dharma. So like, you don't have the impetus. How do you get that force? And the second question is like, what is that one or two simple things that you can do every day practically to find your Dharma?
Wonderful, wonderful video. When we don't have that steam or inner strength, we must know where we can get it from. Now we will have it when we found our Dharma, but as long as it's unclear, we don't have it. Dharma will come to your help when you find your Dharma, when it's because there is the small Dharma, individual Dharma. You can say the light here in this beautiful Amsterdam lamp outside, that's one, but that's connected with a lot of electricity, the whole electric power. Here's only a little electricity which is required to make the bulb grow, but there is a huge amount of electrical power that works here to light the town and so on. So there is the individual Dharma that's small, like this light here, and when you find it, bam, pang, the pang is not the word, but the huge Dharma comes and supports you. So how to find it? Yesterday we gave a few advices, and I want to give you three advices you can do. First is speak to people who are close to you, people who you trust in some ways, who you feel they have a vision and a wisdom that is required for you. No, speak to them. And when usually when it's said in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, when five people ask five people, and then they will see, aha, they all said, talked about this. I think I can see it already a little. That's the first thing. Sometimes we do not find wise people whom we can trust around us. Trust with the, not just with the mind, but totally, you know. And where we feel perhaps not inclined to tell all these things which we just don't tell the world about us. At that time, I would recommend you to try different things and be open. And when you found it, you will feel it's like if your foot goes in a shoe which has exactly your size, you feel, oh my God, this fits, this is good. You know, it will be very self-evident or obvious.
Without being a prince.
Yeah. And the third thing which I would recommend to you, because which is a little bit outside of these, you know, talking with people who have wisdom or just trying things out, is really to do Dharma where it is sure that, where you are sure. Remember, there are three Dharmas, or Dharma stands on three legs. One is Swadharma, what you should do. Are you a designer? Are you more an Olympic swimmer or whatever, like this? But then there's Dharma, how you act towards others. Kind, you know, in a ahimsa, non-harming way. When you act like this, often the other things about Dharma, what you should do, becomes clear. Or what I always do, and what I've recommended many, many people, is when coming into a foggy zone, you know, where you really don't see because it's not clear, the fog is there, then do the spiritual practices. That's always right in all situations. That's right when you are president or when you are post lady, you know, and so on. That is all not affected by these external things, but it will make it clear what it is. I would say for you, after getting up in the morning, whenever it's good to use the early morning hours, whatever that means to you, and is feasible and doable. It's a little bit dependent on your life rhythm. Then, and after you have done your hygienic activities, you know, then start the day with some good spiritual practice. For instance, read in a sacred text, or you might do a japa of a mantra do that. And then after doing this for some time, you can then see about your breakfast. It's good if you have already in the evening before put it together. You know, there's the almond milk and there's the oat flakes or whatever you eat. So it goes quick. You don't lose a century before your breakfast is on the table. And then go into your day. Perhaps offer the food. Have a little sacred place in your apartment with images of of saints and of Krishna or Radha Krishna and so on, offer that. And then peng and start you. Peng. Why do I always say peng? I'm not a cowboy. You know? And then start your day with strength, you know, and have a and everyone will feel it when you are going into your day like a glowing light bulb, of you go like, without any spiritual inspiration, you will feel it, and your Dave feels it, and people around you will say, "What's your secret?" No, yeah, like this. Mm-hmm. But you can also talk to the people like who are here. We have, and find out more. What do you do? What helped you? Like this, no. Good. Yes, there is our Prataparuta. Please, Prataparuta, ask your question.
Thanks, Maharaj. So, Maharaj, I have one dilemma. So, I have kind of found what is the Swadharma for me. And by Krishna, this it's in a spiritual nature also. It is conducive for the spirituality also.
Mm-hmm.
But the current situation in which I am, because I am a grihastha, so there are social responsibilities as well as some securities I need to build, because I am responsible for
your children and
So that aspect is there, and of course I enjoy that. It's not that I feel that as a burden, but then I need to devote my more, most of my energy over there. And whereas the Swadharma which I want to practice is not possible to fully dedicate it on that path. After 10 years maybe building all the securities, I can devote to that. But also one thought is there, like we never know like how much
time
we
have.
Time.
Yeah.
So it might happen that this body might not allow us to do or some our time is up or something. So
please listen up. I have a very magical formula. And I myself don't know exactly how it works, but it works very, very, very good. It's also again from the spiritual traditions. The secret of my magical formula to get all these things done, you know, responsible, all these multitude of things, is to rise early. Mm-hmm. But you may say, that's so simple. I can't tell you why. Yes, I know we should rise early and all this. I know the should. But I'm not coming from, at this moment, from this place. I know when you can divide your day that you rise relatively early. I'm not now saying a time. You need to find that out, how to put it in your day. You know, what is, how to put it in your rhythm, I wanted to say. But if you rise relatively early and fill these early or first hours of the day with some absorbed spiritual practice, the mind the word absorbed, not, you know, oh, I got to do this, I got to, another thing I get to get done, you know, oh no. Spiritual practice should, sometimes it is a little burden because we are not always in the mood to do it, but then we do it. But it should not be always a burden. It should be something, generally, it should be something that you're looking forward and that nourishes you. If you do that in the early morning, you just have time for everything and more. Bharata, again, I don't know really why it is. Is it because we are so fresh and we in the morning and we I have read books which try to give explanations. I have dug in our tradition. All I can say is, please try it. I know it works. And you can put everything, okay, this is here. Okay, I need to do some little extra work here because my daughter should go to a good school and I must save now a little money for my daughter or my son or whoever. And my parents are there. Are they in India, your parents? In India, and they are getting older now. Some security must be for them, and then, so on. And I know sometimes all the things we need to do are just becoming too much. And when you feel like this, I can only say stop and design your day new. I would do that when the holidays come. You have some holidays, you know. At that time, on the first holiday, stop everything. Then I think the first thing you will need to do is sleep like a bear, you know, because you are so taxed with so many things. I had my day today where I really said, okay, I'm exhausted. Now I need to rest until I feel my strength is coming back. And only then I will go into my day. No? So that you might do. And then you say, okay, this is what I have to do. It's a little bit much, I recognize. But we heard in the, in number 38, Karunika studio, we should put this magical morning, we should do the magical morning formula. Okay, let me do this. Let me try. Brother Baruda, if it does not work, I'm willing to give you 5 chapatis. With ghee.
I will definitely try, Maharaj.
Tomorrow? Well, you may be so tired, you know, that... let us be clear. Yes, we know Brahma Muhurta. We know these early hours. We have heard this. There is a lot of research now out which says how good these hours are. But if you have a rhythm where you just go so late to bed, then the morning, early morning, will be not a magical morning, but it will be a mountain morning. It will press, if a mountain presses on you, and you have no mind for anything, you know. So the life rhythm is important. Yes, of course. What is your good name, please?
Bianca.
Bianca?
Benita Bianca, yeah. My initiation name is Benita. Bianca's final.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming here and to say this message. All for me, of course. Feels like you're speaking to me personally.
I'm happy.
But of course, everybody else is. I feel like this person that has not foot on one ground and need foot on the other ground. So I like the idea of the caterpillar with many feet on. But can you maybe just give me some more examples where you were not walking your Dharma and how your inner guidance came back? You said the shoe was fitting, and I actually feel that I feel very lost now, because in this group I feel a little bit a part of this, and this group that. I grew up in a family that I don't belong. My only strategy, what I have now, because a lot of things are falling apart in my life, is that I cannot even manage. I lost all my controls, or surrender. I practice, of course, but that's what I do. But I don't move forward. The only thing I can do now is to go where I feel that I want to go. But I'm not sure of anything. I don't know actually what I should do.
Good. Not good, but I mean, I have heard your question. So let me just ask, Krishna, can you give me that little thing here? Let me think for one moment. It can happen in life that everything which we were sure about is put in question or doesn't work even any longer. And this is, I know one professor, he's a devotee of, this very spiritual person, who did research in traumas. And he found out when there were earthquakes, people lost everything. But there were two types of people who acted in different ways. The one type who lost their house and, you know, everything, all the securities, even some relatives who were buried in the earthquake by houses, and, you know, the terrible things happened. I think we all have heard about the Turkish earthquake in Turkey. So there is one, there are two responses to it. One is to really lament and become helpless by the shock, by the trauma of losing so much. And the other is to now build a new house. So there are also life quakes where many things are taken away from us, and we need to then identify in the midst of this these life quakes, what is it where I can invest my energy and my time. We need to be sometimes patient until we find this, but we must identify one thing, just like in this example of the earthquake, the person who and I think your situation cannot be as bad as these people who barely escaped with their lives. But when they manage to respond to this and find something new, they prosper. Sometimes it's the greatest blessing to be in that situation. Not all the time, sometimes. So I really cannot... I can only offer some examples, but nothing specific, because I don't know your situation, nor would that help, because it's a little subtle. There are no one shoes fit all answers. But I can only say, find something that you can be enthusiastic about. Look a little bit around and so on. It could be something as creative as learning a new language as a preparation to go to a new country. It's something where you can focus your energy on. Of course, as a monk and as a spiritual person, I cannot believe entirely in these methods of learning a new language or going somewhere else and so on. I would say find something spiritual that you can be absolutely enthusiastic about or sure about. And there is something in life, it is called the caravan of resources. You know, when imagine camels walking behind each other. Let us say 25 camels, all are loaded with items like spices or
carpets and so on, and they cross a desert. Now, when you take the first camel, or someone who knows how to, and says, okay, let's go left, all the other camels with their spices and carpets and people and I don't know what they, dates perhaps, they will all go like this. So when you find one thing in your life where you go with, where you really want to go, everything else does follow like the camels. Mm. Many people have, there's research out there, many people have found this. And in spiritual life, I think this works wonderfully. There may be this time, we call it liminal space, this when you are in between and in betwixt, when you are in the waiting room, so to say, of God, when you can find something in that room, in that situation. We can call it a spiritual intervention. Then it works. I had one person just recently, he was very much lost. He was a devotee of Krishna, feeling unwell, unsure. And I said, why don't you start reading a book where it is discussed how someone overcame a great obstacle? It was a spiritual book, of course, because it's a monk, a spiritual person. And he started reading this, and soon I saw him in every 3 minutes reading this book. What are you reading? Wow, he said, I'm reading something. Yes, what? And he told me, and soon all the other aspects in life came in order. All the other camels went left or right or whatever they needed to go. Good. My dear everyone, this is evening turning into late evening. I think we can end here safely. I wanted to just sing with you one more time. Is this good, Nilabara? Must it be loud or not necessary? Any style. Yeah, any style. Good. Good. What?
After 15 minutes.
Yes. And then maybe Nilambai after? Okay, yes. I thought you should give an announcement and see.
But yeah, we have a bigger one afterwards, but just for the Kirtan Maharaj. We have Ron here, and just came. Ron's...
I know Ron.
Ron's sister, her name is Linda. She underwent a brain surgery.
Today itself?
Yes. And the surgery has been successful. Doctors are happy about it. It would be nice if we pray for her.
Was it a major intervention or small thing?
Major.
So... to dedicate this for the recovering of this great soul, this sister of Ron, so that she can dance like her brother in the future. I would say we do it like this. Kirtan is ideally done for the Lord, but what you can do is, I will now do this with you. Sit straight. For a moment, let us all bring our attention to this person, Linda, who just went through a major and complex surgery from which she needs to recover. We can see she's most probably in a hospital bed now, in her room, in the hospital room. Waking, she has woken up from the surgery, but things may be little, she may be even sedated, or it may be little shaky, and we want to send her now our good energy. We want to pray for her well-being. And please, for a moment, just
There will be a time when you will be very benefited when people do this for you. So let us all tune in and then now pray or send our good wishes for a full recovery. Let's start now. Start now the kirtan, and may the sound go to Linda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. A little louder, if possible. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Yeah.